Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And we're going to go ahead and continue with our class, The Great Mercy of God. And I know, we haven't had a class in a while. I've been doing a lot of catch-up playing. Well, not playing with catch-up, but trying to catch up with audios and notes and everything else. With everything else, with all the conferences that I've been involved with here recently. So, for today, I'd like to just go ahead and once again look at Genesis chapter 17, this time just verse 1 and 2. I felt from the Lord just kind of like to go back because I know it in our past, our previous classes, we've been looking at El Shaddai. And I believe it's been very important to do so. And in this this last time that I was looking at just Genesis chapter 17, something caught my attention that hadn't really caught my attention before. Now, I've made mention of part of this, but not both parts. So I'll just go ahead and read real quick. Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me, walk before my face, and be thou perfect. And I believe we touched on this part in a class a few classes back, where that word right there, before, is before the face of, before my face. And we also looked at how, you know, we can read that, I'm Almighty God, walk before my face, and be perfect. We can read that and think, okay, God wants me to walk before him, walk before his face. And also he wants me to be perfect as I'm walking before his face. And that's not the case. For one thing, as I stated, the term before is before the face of. So what it means is, exactly what it says. Our heart is directed and beholding the face of the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. So if we are beholding his face, then we're not beholding our own face. And see, our face, the diagram, our face is the face of humanity, wherein there is only lack. His face, on the other hand, there is no lack at all. So, for us who are born again, if our hearts are considering what we believe to be our life, then we will only find lack. But if our hearts are considering and directed unto the true face of him who is our life, we will, brothers and sisters, find no lack at all. So, I'll just read it, I guess, with my own words. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, El Shaddai, walk before me, and thou wilt behold the perfection who is thy life. Walk before my face, and you will behold the perfection of your life. Once again, we who are born again, our life is Christ. But if we are trying to find our life where our life is not found, then we are beholding a false image. It is not the true image of God who is our life, Christ himself. All right. So that's that. Verse 2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. All right. Now, what I did this time around when I read these passages is first of all, I think we've looked at the word perfect before. Excuse me. Let me go there real quick. And when Abram was 90 years old and 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me. And I'm not sure if we looked at the word walk and the word perfect. We may have looked at both. But what I did, excuse me, what I did this time around is that I went ahead and did a Strong's number search for both terms. And I actually, I think I just discovered how to do this not too long ago. And so that's exactly what I'm going to do right now. Give me just a second. I didn't have it pulled up at the time. I'm adding to my search. I'm adding the command and I'm also going to add this other Strong's number. Okay, here we go. Now, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, I am El Shaddai. Walk. The term walk is Strong's number 1980. It is something like halak, something like that in the Hebrew. Walk before me and be thou perfect. The term perfect is Strong's number 8549. And it is tamim, somewhat of a pronunciation. I'm not going to say my pronunciations are right on. I'm not sure. But those are the Strong's numbers. Strong's number 1980 and Strong's number 8549. And the combination of these two terms together appears eight times in the scriptures. The first one, which we're actually going to be considering during this class. The first one is Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. And Genesis chapter 6, it's Noah and the flood. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect. Here's one of our terms. Excuse me. In his generations, and Noah walked with God. Perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. I love that. The two words together, two terms combined in the verse, found in one verse. All right. The next one, of course, is the one we're looking at, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Perfect. Walk before me and be thou perfect. There's our term. The next mention is Psalms chapter 15, verse 2. He that walketh, there's one of our terms, uprightly, there's the other one, perfect, and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. And I'm not going to read the context of these yet. I may, in our next classes, I may just look at each one, look at the context of each, and just see if the Lord just draws my attention to any of them. But for this class, we're just going to look at Genesis 6, 9, the first mention. And I'm just going to go ahead and finish reading where these two terms together are found in the scriptures. The next place that is found is Psalms chapter 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. There's our two terms. Walk uprightly. Walk perfect. The next one is Psalms 102, verse 2. Excuse me, Psalms 101. Psalms 101, verse 2. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect, there's our term, perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk, there's our other term, within my house with a perfect heart. Now that term perfect is not the same Strong's number as the one we just read before. It's not highlighted. And then the next one is still with Psalm 101. Now it's verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh, there's our term, in a perfect way, he shall serve me. And all these terms, all just as we're reading these, just think about Abram at this time. Okay, now keeping on. I'll read that verse again. Verse 6, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Psalm 119, verse 1, Aleph, blessed are the undefiled, the perfect, in the way, who walk, here's our term again, there are other term, in the law of the Lord. And the law of the Lord is the testimony of Jesus Christ. All right, we have to keep the whole thing in context. They are they that testify of me. Okay, and then our last verse where these two terms, two Strong's numbers are found is Proverbs chapter 28, verse 18. Whoso walketh, there's one of our terms, uprightly, there's our other term, shall be saved. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. Okay, so those are the verses where those two terms are found together in the same verse. And that's that is Strong's number 1980 for the term walk, and Strong's number 8549 for the term perfect. And I use the Accordance Bible app to do those searches. All right, now, looking at the first mention, where we find it, so now I'm going to go back to Genesis chapter 6, starting with verse 8. We actually find it in verse 9. But starting with verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now this is verse 5, and God saw the wickedness of man, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he grieved him in his heart, at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. So the Lord about to destroy, bring to an end a complete creation that is under a curse, a complete creation that is under the condition of death. Bringing that very condition that that creation is under unto death. Okay? Verse 8 of Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord found only one who is righteous before me. Before him, excuse me. All right? Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, and let's go there. There's the term righteous. Just is Strong's number 6662. This is just a Strong's dictionary. Righteous, lawful, just. All right. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. All right, first and foremost, Noah is a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one who was righteous in the sight of God. from a whole entire creation that was not. This one walked with God, and a whole entire creation did not. That is, first and foremost, the testimony of Christ himself in these scriptures. All right, Noah being a testimony of Jesus. And so that's the very first mention. Now, what I want to do is, from there, I want us to skip over, because I read all chapter 6, I think, through chapter 9, and all I did was just take out some portions here and there that caught my attention, and that's what we're going to read and talk about. But one of the things that I noticed was that the covenant is established with a person and his house. And because we're looking right now, during this time, at this moment, with Noah as the person, as a testimony of Christ himself, then the covenant is established with the Son and his household. Remember when the Israelites first came into the land and Joshua was speaking to them and he says, "As for me and my house." Now at that moment, Joshua was a testimony of the head of Christ himself, the head of the body. And so he can declare, "As for me and my house," he's the only one who can say that. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I've mentioned this before in other classes. There is truly only one who serves the Father. The Lord speaks to Moses to speak to Pharaoh while the children of Israel are in Egypt among the dead. He says, "Let my son go." That is singular. It is not plural. It is singular and it is masculine. "Let my son go that he may serve me." Jesus also said this, "The Father has never left me. I always do those things that please him." The Father worketh and the Son worketh. "The works that I do, they are not my works, they are my Father. They are my Father's. The Father in me doeth the works." So you see, there's only one who serves his Father, and that is Christ. All right, so it goes on. Let's see where we were at. Verse 18. Oh, yeah. Actually, I can't remember. Yes, it is, the covenant is established with a person and with his household, with Christ and the household of Christ. All right. Yeah, so verse 18. "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark. But with thee, Noah, will I establish my covenant, and you will come into the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you." With you and your household. Now, "But with thee will I establish my covenant." It goes on, verse 19. "And of every living thing of all flesh, two," there's testimony, "two of every sort shall you bring into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female." That means that apart from you, they will not have life. But if they are found with you, they will have life, because you are the life of them. You are their salvation. Remember, everything that did not come to Noah into the ark did not find salvation. But everything that did come unto Noah found their salvation in a man. Of course, Noah, once again, is a testimony of Christ. Going on, of fowls after their kind, this is verse 20, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep alive, to find life, to have life. All right. This is Noah, and this is also a household, and this is also a world with the inhabitants thereof. Male and female, every living creature, it's the world and the inhabitants thereof. Okay? Going on. I love this. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house. I mean, this is like, saying it very clearly. I mean, I mentioned it, and we read Genesis chapter 6, verse 17 and 19, and I just said, look, this is the household. All that were found in the household of Noah came into the ark. But real here, right here, and you can say, well, it was just his sons and his daughters and his wife. But look, the Lord gets really specific so that there be no doubt that it is Noah and his household and a creation and a world. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. I love this. Look at, this is like the Father speaking to the Son. For thee have I seen righteous before my face in this generation. Meaning, you're the only righteous one here. Going on. That's Genesis chapter 7. Let's skip on down to Genesis chapter 9. Here's Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons. Now, of course, Genesis chapter 9, they are here. They are in type, in testimony, in resurrection. They go into the ark, the rains descend, destroys everything, destroys a complete creation. Right here, picture of the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection. Well, the death, then the burial, the waters keep on raining, and what is dead is buried by the waters, no longer to be seen again. And the ark, as it's raining, the ark is rising above the earth. And then finally, the ark rests upon the mountains above the earth. And Genesis chapter 9. So here's the context right here, above the earth. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. The testimony of Christ. All right. Goes on. Genesis, still in Genesis chapter 9, going down further, let's start with verse 7, and we may read, basically it's 7, verse 7 through 17. We may read the whole thing, we may not. And you, Lord speaking directly to Noah, and you be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you. My covenant. Right here is where the Lord establishes covenant. The Lord didn't establish covenant before the flood. All right? Now look at the testimony. Here is Noah and an old creation. The Lord didn't establish covenant there. No, the Lord establishes covenant in the new, with the new. First and foremost, with Noah. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons, saying, sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of the every beast of the earth with you, from all that goes on out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall... Okay, I'll just stop right there. My covenant is established with you, your household, and listen to this, and your creation. The creation of the only righteous one that God saw. This other creation, no, God found no righteous one within it. God found one righteous, only one. Within that other entire creation that was evil, the thoughts of man evil continually, no, there's none righteous, no, not one. Christ is righteousness, brothers and sisters. It'll be a whole lot easier when we finally admit to that. That is, I think it's like in Corinthians, Christ, this is the Apostle Paul speaking unto the church at Corinth. Well, speaking to the body of Christ in general, speaking to us who are born again. Christ, who has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, everything. He himself is made unto us this. He is our righteousness. He is our wisdom. He is our sanctification. And the quicker we agree with this and submit to this, then the easier it is. All right. So going on, and I will establish my covenant with you and with verse 11. So now in a new creation, the Lord is speaking. The old has already been destroyed, brought to death, and buried. Now also, please listen. Noah and all those who were with him in the ark did not escape the judgment of God. No, they did not escape, because they were in the ark, and when the waters came down, the waters came down upon the ark as well. God judged a whole entire creation in one. The only difference is that those who were found in the ark found themselves in their salvation. The ark was their salvation. The ark, that is also a testimony of Jesus Christ. So the waters came down, death and destruction, everything, it is finished, brought to an end. And what is brought to an end, what is dead, must be buried. The waters continued to bury the dead. And then life and life alone came out of the grave in resurrection. Okay, I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. Why? Because the only creation that remains is the new creation wherein righteousness dwells. This new creation who is Christ himself. Remember, Jesus said this, it is finished. In Spanish, consumado es, consummated. It is consummated. It is finished. No more to be done. And he sat down at the right hand of God. Why? Because God was satisfied with the work of his Son. Completely satisfied. Christ, having died once, dieth no more. We know this with the testimony of this very thing. Remember when the children of Israel and Moses were in the wilderness, and the children of Israel basically started crying out again, hey, we're thirsty, we thirst, give us something to drink. Moses goes to the Lord. The Lord says, okay, take the rod of Aaron, strike the rock, and from the rock, everyone, it'll spring forth, basically, living waters, and everyone will come and drink. And we know that that's what Moses did. And everyone's thirst was quenched. They drank of the rock. Okay, we also know that when the children of Israel, at a later point, they thirsted again. They were crying out for something to drink again. Moses, not consulting the Lord, takes Aaron's rod and smites the rock again, the second time. That is not according to the testimony of God. So therefore, God gets upset with Moses because it wasn't according to testimony. The rock, our rock, who Christ is smitten once. And having died once, he dieth no more, but liveth forevermore. Do you see? This is why, and I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more. Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy all the earth. Why? Because now here is a new creation found in you with whom I have established my covenant. That's why. This new creation, the life of the new creation is perfect. God finds no fault in this creation whom his son is. The Lord found fault in an old creation. Remember? None righteous, no, not one. But only one did God see as righteous, Noah, who is a testimony of Christ his son. The new creation is Christ himself. The life of the creation of God is Christ himself, wherein dwelleth righteousness, sanctification, holiness, all the terms that we try to be, he himself is. And herein, the Lord finds no fault whatsoever. Going on. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, from this generation onward, throughout every generation, this is established. And of course, is declaring a reality that is beyond an old creation, the reality of the new creation, who Christ himself is, wherein righteousness dwells. This is Christ. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, verse 14, sorry, I skipped a verse. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, the rainbow. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, Noah, and every living creature of all flesh, and everything that lives, because you live. Have everything that lives by your life. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, and the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature, wherein is found life, the life who Christ himself is. Of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Okay, that's verse 17. I did read the whole thing. That is the rainbow, brothers and sisters. The rainbow is a token of the covenant. It is the sign of the covenant, of this covenant in the new creation This is God saying, anytime you see this, you will know that I have established something eternal. And in this creation, I find no fault. Therefore, this creation will not come to an end. He liveth evermore. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse maybe 17 or 18. Behold, I was dead, and I am alive forevermore. I love that. All right, going on. In also reading this, I considered the following for the believer coming from one creation unto a new creation, not to another creation, you know, because that's what we want to do. We want to come from one creation that we have known all of the time that we have called life before we were born again, to another similar creation after we're born again. But brothers and sisters, listen to me. That is not the case. That cannot be. We come from one creation, the old creation, before we are born again, unto the new creation of God, unto the creation of God, something that wasn't before, something that we did not even know existed before. But at the moment of new birth, because Christ, the life of the creation of God, appears in our soul, because of that, our soul is now found in this very creation of God, Christ Himself. Okay, so looking at coming from one creation unto the new creation. We were reading, and we're going to go back now. We read Genesis chapter 7, but now we're going to go back and look at some verses out of Genesis chapter 8 as well. But let's read two verses, actually a couple of passages in Genesis chapter 7. The first one is verse 17 from Genesis chapter 7. And they went in to the ark. I love using diagrams. Verse 17. And was that 17? Yes, verse 17. And, oh, well, that was verse 16. Sorry about that. Let me just mark that to add verse 16 in there. And they went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Verse 17, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. Here we go again. Bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. There is resurrection. He goes on. Verse 18, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters above. Love this. All this is testifying of resurrection. Verse 23, and every living substance from this old creation Verse 23, let me mark it so I don't lose my spot. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground below, both man and cattle and creeping thing, the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained. I know I've shared this before, and you probably are thinking about this verse right here. When Jesus took the three disciples up with him to the mount of what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, it says, you know, they saw Jesus, Elijah, and Moses. And then the cloud, glory cloud, covers them. And then their faces are down to the earth. And then it says they lifted up their eyes, and they saw no man save Jesus only. Listen to this. And then what's the voice, the heavenly voice, the voice from the heavens that we hear? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained, and they that were with him in the ark. I love it also. Herein is one. It's the testimony all over again of reality. This time Jesus comes to John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, no, I cannot do this. I'm unworthy to do this. And Jesus is like, no, to fulfill all righteousness, it has to be done. I've got to be baptized. So he baptizes him. Testimony of death. Burial goes underneath the water. When Jesus comes out of the water, a voice from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Only he remains. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained, and they that were with him in the ark. See, it's not that they were in the ark. They were with him. You take him out of the picture, there is no ark. There is no life. There is no salvation. Listen, Christ is everything. Apart from him, there is nothing of God. Christ is everything. In him, we must find everything we are looking for. Because if we don't find it in him, brothers and sisters, we will not find it at all. Another passage in the New Testament, Philip comes to Jesus. Jesus, show us the Father, and that's sufficient. That's all we need. Just show us the Father. And what is his response? Philip, have I not been with you so long and you've not known me? If you have seen me, you've seen the Father. To find what you're looking for, you have to find it in me. He also told the Jews, you search the scriptures because you think you find eternal life in them. You're looking for eternal life. You're looking for it in the scriptures. And Jesus goes on to say, they testify of me, but you won't come to me to find what you're looking for. You're looking for something in the scriptures? I'm it. What you're looking for, you have to find in me, says Jesus. All right, so going on, where were we? That was Genesis chapter 7, verse 23. Now let's go on to chapter 8, verse 4. And the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Mountains above, once again, it rested. It rested. It was at rest. No more work to be done. It was all done over here in the cross. Nothing more to do. It is finished. Now, the Son, having been raised up, is at rest, just like Solomon. A kingdom, a rule, a reign, a creation, a land at rest. Listen, not only that, wherein righteousness is found. That was verse 4, skipping down to verse 6. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. He also sent a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. Verse 10, and he stayed yet another 7 days. I love this. 7 days, 7 days. And again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. Verse 11, and the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, and Noah knew that the waters were abated off the earth. And just listen to this. Jesus said this, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, speaking of the Holy Spirit, he shall take that which is of mine, and shall declare it unto you. The dove was taking that which is found in the new creation and declaring it unto a household. Back to the other testimony with Jesus at the baptism. I love this. Well, not there. Not, no, no, we won't go there yet. And the dove, verse 11, and the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Verse 12, and he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove again, which returned not again unto him anymore. All right. Looking at believers who are born again, believers in whom Christ is found in the soul, and because Christ is found in the soul, now their soul is found in Christ himself. The Holy Spirit above Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, shall come, he shall take that which is of mine and shall declare it unto you, shall present Christ, shall present the testimony unto us, shall present the fullness of him that filleth the creation of God, shall present everything and the totality of what is found in the creation of God, who is Christ himself, unto the heart, so that the heart may behold the testimony, and that testimony have its perfect work in the heart, so that the heart may come, listen, from the knowledge of man below, which is complete ignorance, unto the knowledge of God above, who is Christ himself. So that the heart may come in knowledge, the knowledge of God, unto where God himself has already brought the soul in reality at the moment of new birth. I have to stress that. Brothers and sisters, we who are born again, we are not going anywhere, if you will. It is our heart that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, wants to bring in knowledge and to find wherein we have been brought in reality at the moment of new birth. Remember, they were in the ark. They were in resurrection already. It was at rest. The ark was at rest. Noah, his household was at rest, whether they recognized it or not. Whether his household recognized it or not. God knew. And brothers and sisters, God knows. We who are born again, our life is at rest. Our soul, listen, our soul is at rest because the peace of God is present within our soul. Now, for our heart to discover the one unto whom we have been brought at the moment of new birth. It's a tremendous thing. Tremendous thing. And he stayed yet another 7 days, verse 12, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. Now it is to begin to walk in this new creation. Because they were all in the ark. They were just hanging out in the ark. But now it is to walk in the land of the living, discovering, listen, the one who fills both heaven and earth. But it's always above. Our life, brothers and sisters, is found above because our life is Christ, who is the resurrection above, resurrection above, not below, no, above. If we are looking, if we are truly looking, then by the Spirit of God, we are looking above. Sorry, I had a mosquito. All right, where were we? Verse 12, yes. for the testimony to have its perfect work, so that the heart may now turn. All right, let's see. Genesis chapter 8, picking up with verse 15. And God spake unto Noah. I love this. Just the testimonies presented. And I think it was a different class. Well, I've probably mentioned this in several different classes, but there's like an order. Okay. To me, the testimony is like hearing the voice of the Lord. That's what it is to me. That's what it is to me. Because I believe it is a complete miracle of God to see Christ in the Scriptures. To see the testimony of Christ in the Scriptures, to me, it is a miracle of God. Because Jesus is there in the testimony. But except God reveal him in the testimony, we have no clue what we're reading. Now, seeing that one in the testimony, I'll take it a step further. Hearing that voice births in our heart to turn to see the voice that speaks with us. John on the Isle of Patmos, and I turned to see the voice, and I saw seven golden lampstands. There you go. What is it? It is the perfect testimony in the church, all directing unto the one in the midst. And in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, in the midst of the perfect testimony in the church, I saw one as unto the Son of Man. Christ himself. That's it. So it goes on. Verse 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, of fowl and of cattle, every creeping thing that creeps, that they may breed abundantly on the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Okay? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill it with your increase. See, the Lord, just like in the garden, when Jesus of Nazareth was sent of God, he could not offer life to this creation that was found in a condition of death. No. No, that's why you have the angel with a flaming sword guarding the way to the tree of life. No, not in that condition, not in that state. You can't partake of life in that state. That's why the Lord brought that whole entire creation, that whole entire state of death unto death, the condition of death unto death, and buried it so that now he can offer life. Goes on. Verse 18, and I think that was where I was at. Verse 18, and Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Verse 19, and every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after its kind, went forth out of the ark. It's a new creation. Listen, another world that liveth by Noah, that liveth by Christ. Right? Going on, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled, I love this, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. Why? Because Christ, having died once, dieth no more. Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast, offered unto the Lord, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. A sweet savor. Why? Because the only savor to smell here is the savor of Christ himself. The only thing living here lives by the life of Christ himself. With this one, is God satisfied. Now, listen to the way I say this. Us who are born again, God is satisfied with our life, who Christ Himself is. The thing is, we who are born again, we have no clue who is our life, who Christ Himself is. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, takes that which is of Christ, who is our life, presents it to our soul, not to our soul, to our heart, declares it to our heart, that the Holy Spirit may bring our heart from the knowledge of man below, complete ignorance, unto the knowledge of God, who is Christ Himself, that we may find Him who is our life, Him who is present in this creation. The creation wherein our souls are now found since the moment of new birth. All right, where were we? Yeah, verse 21. So let me just go ahead and read some comments, and I'll wrap it up with a verse from the New Testament. Noah and his house, his household, entered into a new creation. Noah and his household entered into a new creation. And they had to begin to discover their life anew in this same new creation. I shared it before in a previous class. Forgive me, I can't remember which class it was. But just think of it this way. What if, well, I mean, just the example. I mean, what if we were there in the times of Noah and we were, well, we were part of Noah's household. But what if there was, you know, like our favorite shopping center or mall or outside, I don't even know what you call them during those times, trading center mall place. You know, we always went every day, or not every day, probably every, yeah, maybe every day, to go and trade or, you know, purchase what we liked, you know. And then all of a sudden, here we are, now we're in an ark, and we're there 40 days, 40 nights, and then it goes to like a couple of weeks, you know, every 7 days and another 7 days. And then we step out in this new creation, and we try to find our favorite trading place over here. We try to find that place where we would go to purchase things. Guess what? It's not there. We could not, we, brothers and sisters, we who are born again, we literally cannot find our life where our life is not found. But we try to. But why do we try to? Because we have a concept of what we believe to be is our life. And that concept is nothing more than a concept. It is not the truth. If we would see Him who is our life, we would begin looking to find, to discover our life, us who are born again, where our life is found. So extreme, so clean cut with Noah and the flood. They could not go back to quote unquote life as they knew it before. It wasn't there. What we knew before we were born again was not life at all. Life wasn't there. Brothers and sisters, now we have life. And the Spirit of the Lord takes that which is of Christ, who is our life, declares it to our heart, that our heart may turn and behold Him who is our life, that we may find our life where our life is found. All right, going on with my comment. Their lives, what they believed to be their lives, came to an end in a creation. they were no longer in that creation. Therefore, they could not continue to find what they considered to be their life in that creation that was brought to an end. It wasn't present anymore. That creation was no longer present. But they now, remember, the household of Noah, they now had to begin to discover their life anew in this new creation wherein their life was found. Last verse, and we'll wrap it up with this one right here. This is Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse 14. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church, speaking to the body of Christ. If you're born again, brothers and sisters, you are the church, the body of Christ. But this is the Apostle Paul. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom, here's reality, the world is crucified unto me. Listen to the order of which he says this. And, now the understanding, and I unto the world. Why? Because I find my life in a new world, in a new creation, wherein righteousness, who Christ is, dwells. Wherein life, who Christ is, dwells. Goes on. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature, a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Christ himself, once again, the Lord to Moses to speak to Pharaoh, Israel is my son, masculine, singular, my son, let my son go that he may serve me. So we'll end it for this class. And remember, just with these things, just with all that we covered with Noah, think about Abram at this point, at this juncture, Genesis chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. Think about Abram at this juncture. Let's just go there real quick. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am El Shaddai, Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Walk before me, before my face, and you will find the perfection. You will find your perfection, who I am. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. All right? We've got to look at it in this whole, these passages out of Genesis that we were looking at with Noah. I want us to look at it in that context right there. All right? It'll make a little more sense when we continue on. But I love it. Because listen, what was is not who is who is present, who is our life, who is Christ himself. So please, once again, as always, take this, present it to the Holy Spirit. In fact, present everything to the Holy Spirit, our teacher, the Spirit of truth. Present it all, everything that we hear, everything that we see, everything that we read in the scriptures, everything that we study in the scriptures. May we present it to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can take whatever that we present to him, and that he may take that which is of Christ and present it to our heart, that by that same work of the Holy Spirit, our heart may come in knowledge unto where our soul has been brought in reality at the moment of new birth, and discover the life of the new creation, Christ himself. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. We'll see you in our next class. Amen.